Thank you, Pastor. I appreciate the opportunity to come and to share the Word of God here. You never know what's going to happen tomorrow, what's going to happen the next day, or the next day, or the next day. Sometimes things turn in a different direction than we thought, or even planned in our time. So we have enjoyed this time here. It's been quite a stretch, been through the COVID period of time, so we didn't join too quickly, but we rejoice. I normally don't do this, but I'll give you a little more background. I pastored two churches in upstate New York. We don't think of New York City now, upstate New York, Finger Lake region, and in the early days, and then we felt the Lord leading us to work as a missionary builder. And during that period of time, we organized and actually became the general director, the CEO of Baptist Missionary Builders out of Elyria, Ohio. And we traveled with 18 couples all over the United States. My wife and I and our three girls have taken a trip seemingly almost outside of the United States. That we've gone to Alaska. Now, that's quite a stretch. When you leave Syracuse, New York at 7 o'clock in the morning and you arrive in Anchorage at 7 in the evening, and remember now, there's some time lapse here now. There's 5 hours difference, not just 3, there's 5 hours difference in time from the East Coast to Anchorage. So we had a glorious 2 years, summertime only, I might say. Although I lingered behind and worked up to about the 1st of October, saw snow come and some of it went and so on and so forth, but because our girls had to be in school. We snatched them out of school early to do this, and we thank the Lord for the great opportunity and meeting many people, and certainly that's true, seeing how it was worked together. I suppose my greatest longing or greatest miss is missing the camaraderie and the relationship of working with God's people, because we built the buildings with the congregation itself and one or two missionary builders and couples. So we have seen that happen a great deal. We kid each other, Lucille and I do, that we could take a vacation for 2 years and not pay for any motels. So we could visit this one and that one. Please stop and see us when you're coming our way. Say, yeah, all right. So that's kind of interesting. But we supposedly retired, haha, in these days. So why don't we look to the Lord in prayer, and then we'll get into our message tonight. Father God, how thankful we are to come and to say thank you for our salvation in Christ and changing our lives and making us new, throwing out the old things and giving us a new desire, a new perspective, new goals in mind, and our attitude has changed because of the Holy Spirit working within. Thank you for all you're doing and how you used us in many ways and using believers in Christ in different ways all over the world. Thank you. Guide us as we share. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Each believer has an identity. Now, Pastor referred to this back about a month and a half ago when he got into the book of Acts and talking about the thought that Christians were first called Christians at Antioch and Christ's ones. So each one of us have an identity. You don't believe that? Well, let me tell you a story. By the way, the stories I tell now are not reminiscing. I don't reminisce. I know I'm in the age where I should do that, right? There's good stories, so listen carefully. Many years ago, just after we were first married, my father-in-law was originally from the state of Nebraska, so he married my mother-in-law, who was 20 years younger than he. And they had 5 children, so two girls and 3 boys, and we certainly thank the Lord how he worked in lives. Now, my father-in-law knew Christ as Savior, and my mother-in-law did too as well. They weren't really strong Christians. So they decided to take us along to go back to Nebraska one day, late in the summertime. I guess it was probably September 1st. And so we headed off, 2 days trip to Inman, Nebraska. It's only just a few steps off from Route 20 as 20 goes across the United States in the upper part. And before we got to our destination, I must tell you this. My father-in-law was quite a man. He delivered mail across a river, the Niobrara River, in a bag by means of cable car. And of course, if he was living today, he'd be about 120 years of age. But he had all kinds of episodes with his brothers in the Northwest. In fact, he and his brothers used to go up and wrestle horses, wild horses, and sell them to the army. Now, that's not stealing, is it? Well, anyways, he was known. He and his brothers were known for this. So as we came across Route 20 and got to this little town, just got off in 20 to the left and pulled in, and there was just a dirt gravel street in, and with a flagpole in the middle of the street, and maybe a dozen houses there. And he pulled up. I was driving, and I pulled up, and he got out. And as soon as he stepped his foot on the, quote, dirt sidewalk, someone said, "Oh, look, the horse thief is back in town." Now, that's identity. Yes, that's true. Yeah. In the Word of God, believers are referred to often in other ways than just Christians or believers or those who are followers. They're called children or sons of God or sheep or soldiers or salt of the earth or light of the world or many other things. In fact, Jesus likens us in our relationship that you are the branches. We are the branches. He is the main stalk, the main trunk. So it's certainly yes, and several other things are mentioned concerning us. These are metaphors or images that indicate to us our worth, our position, our relationship, and sometimes our character, whether we like it or not. When I was young, I did not like to call by any nicknames, because in grade school, I had a nickname. I guess I can tell you now, because it's been a long time. And they called me Marty. I hated that because they teased me about this. Smarty Marty. Okay? All right? So it sticks on you. I don't know what kind of tape they use, but it stays there a long time. And some of my so-called class friends still, if they see me, remember that. Tonight, I'd like to cover two of these, and it could be a series. Let's first of all consider together that we are sheep. Sheep. This is an image that could easily be understood in Bible days, especially New Testament days, well, all through the Old Testament as well. And it's very common to have sheep. Sheep are where? In fact, on 174 on the way home through Boiling Springs and back to Mechanicsburg, we go by a place where there's sheep. And my wife says, "Slow up. Take a look." Okay. Every time. Almost. Okay. So, sheep are a wonderful image. Sheep have the tendency to wander and to check things out. Do they not? They have a tendency, if one goes through an opening in the fence or a restricted area, the others will follow. One by one, one by one. They need someone to oversee them and to guide them. So they have shepherds that do that. Not just in the simple things of life, but also the important things of life. For example, the shepherd knows if there's poisonous weeds to the field where he's taking them to feed on the grass. He makes sure there's water and there's protection from at night. He cares for them. Someone said that they are symbolic of meekness and patience and submission. Well, sometimes they demonstrate that. One interesting thing about sheep, though, they know their master's voice. We'll see that in a few verses tonight. And they have a very close relationship to the shepherd. Jesus often gives illustrations in the New Testament concerning sheep. In fact, in Mark chapter 15, verses 1 to 7, we find this to be true. Luke 15 has three groups of lost things: the lost sheep, the lost coin, the lost son. There are prodigal sons in there, okay? Jesus gives this picture of the lost sheep, for we find these words: "Then drew they unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. And the Pharisees and the scribes murmured, saying, This man received his sinners, and he is with them. And this is his remark. Jesus spoke this parable unto them, saying, What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he loses one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it? And when he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulder and rejoicing. And when he hath come home, he calls together his friends and neighbors and says unto them, Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. And I say unto you, that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance." So he emphasized that word "just persons" for the sake of those other hearers who were listening to this parable. And so we have this parable. We have several others that involve this kind of relationship. David picks a very warm and comfortable image of the sheep for believers in his personal care of God in Psalm 23, which we'll come to soon. But there are other verses in the New Testament which I'd like to take you to. My favorite is, of course, John chapter 10. And I'm not going to take a lot of time, read all chapter 10, but you'll see it's talking about he says he's the door of the sheep in the first part of the chapter 10, and so on and so forth. Then he says in verse 11, "I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is a hireling and not a shepherd, whose own sheep are not, seeing the wolf cometh, and leaveth the sheep, and fleeth, and the wolf catches them, and scattereth the sheep. A hireling fleeth, because he is an hireling, and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and knoweth my sheep, and known of mine. As the Father hath known me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. Other sheep have I, which are not of this fold. Them also I must bring. They shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd." Interesting statement there. And we switch over to verse 27, where we read, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my Father's hand." It's interesting that we are called sheep. One passing note back in concerning other sheep have I, which are not of this fold. Who is he talking about? Most of us, right? Sure. Yes, that's true. Now, if we are called sheep, do we fit this identification? Do we act like sheep? Well, sometimes we should admit, first of all, that we are and have the tendency to wander spiritually. We have the tendency to wander spiritually. Israel wandered. We'll follow you, Lord. We'll follow you. And it seemed like it was only a week later They're doing their own thing, as we say. They're going their own way. They want to do this. I'm amazed how many times, even after they're in the promised land, that they promised, vowed. And again, we wandered away from the Lord. And so we need to check ourselves. Every day, check ourselves. And I hope you're not like I am. When I get in the car, sometimes I don't put my seatbelt on. That's a confession. You know, I put in gear and all that kind of thing, put my sunglasses on, all that kind of stuff. But I forget to put my belt on. Sometimes my sweetheart says, honey, your belt, please. Okay. So sometimes we need to be reminded. Spiritual things. Check. Beware of the spiritual dangers around us. Beware of those. So much today, from internet to telephone calls, blah, 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 blah. You know what that is. You know. I have to look at the telephone number before I dare to answer my phone. Then when you see the shepherd, this shepherd, he's our life, fleshly shepherd that we can see. When he speaks and speaks the word, listen to his direction and listen to the word of God. And if we need to, seek his help and direction. Then also we need to follow our shepherd, our good shepherd, our chief shepherd, and listen to his voice. If he speaks to us, tell us to do something different. I might tell you what about a phone call this evening. I was all about ready to leave the house, and I had a phone call from someone who wants some little odds and ends done. And yes, I agreed to do that sometime at the end of September when things are right. And but she was a little upset. She's a single gal, and she called, and she says, I live in Lisburn. Anybody know where Lisburn is? It's down in the hole, isn't it? Along that unusual creek that runs right there. And I think her basement floor is probably 2 feet above the water level in the creek. She's quite a ways from the creek. And she says, would you come by this week and help make sure that my sump pumps are plugged in and they're all ready to go? Okay. Interesting. And then she says, don't worry about my house. I'll get my house in order sometime. Boy, did that trickle something in my mind. When somebody says that, that means something else, doesn't it? Huh? And I says, Carol, do you understand what you just said? Yes, I know you're a church person. And so tomorrow, about 3:30, I'm going to her house when she gets home from work. Opportunity again to witness to her again. That's Holy Spirit speaking to my heart this afternoon. See, I need to make that call. I need to make that invitation to her for her need of Jesus Christ as Savior. So if you want to write on your imaginary pad there, remember me about 3:30 in the afternoon tomorrow. It is interesting to notice that we are sheep. Not cozy and fuzzy, but we are sheep. Cantankerous and ornery and miserable and sinful. Bullheaded, wanting our own way. Yes, we are. We need to call upon him who is our shepherd. Some of us can quote by heart, by memory, Psalm 23. For us who can't, I ask you to turn to Psalm 23. It's only 6 verses. And I want you to read with me this psalm. And I want you to think about the words. This is not just some shepherd's psalm, and it talks about sheep and about our relationship with the good shepherd, but it's very personal. I want you to pronounce and stop and pronounce every single pronoun it talks about here. Personal pronoun here. For example, I hope you'll read, "The Lord is my shepherd." Okay, let us read it together, beginning at the very beginning. "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever." When things get tough, these are verses I read. And sometimes write them. Write them. Write them out. Sometimes I write them out and write them out. And write them. And when you write them out, they sink in. And sink in on the tablets of my heart. Of your heart. So we are his. And he is mine. And we call upon him. And help us to be good sheep, not wayward sheep, sheep that are obedient. There's one other metaphor that is in the Bible, and that is the word vessels. Have you turned to Acts chapter 9? Well, you don't turn there. I'll just give you. Remember in Acts chapter 9, verse 15, the Lord has spoken to Ananias to go see Paul. Now, Paul, he's still blind from encounter on the road to Damascus. And notice the words that the Lord said to Ananias. "Go talk to Paul," whose name is Saul, "for he is a chosen vessel." A chosen vessel. Many of you, perhaps, have gone to Sturbridge Village in Massachusetts or Williamsburg, Virginia, have you not? And gone to the potter's house. How many have done that? Sure. I don't know how many times I've been there, especially to Sturbridge, because we used to build several churches in the New England states. And so we had visited that place, especially when our girls were small. And what a joy and delight to go back even again and watch them turn the clay on the wheel and mold it and form it. I'd like to have you turn to Jeremiah chapter 18, and I want you to see the same thing you'd see in Virginia or Massachusetts. Jeremiah chapter 18. Now, these are the words coming from the Lord to Jeremiah. That's verse 1. Which said, "Arise, go down to the potter's house, and there I'll cause thee to hear my words." Now here's an object lesson. Excuse me. Here's an object lesson he has for Jeremiah. All right. Everybody find Jeremiah chapter 18 by now? Okay. Verse 3. "Then I went down to the potter's house, and behold, he wrought a work on the wheels. And the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. So he made it again, another vessel, as it seemed good to the potter to make it. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying," these are important, "O house of Israel, cannot I do with you as this potter, saith the Lord? Behold, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are ye in my hand, O house of Israel." Now this is written in Jeremiah's time. And this is still God dealing with Israel. And this is a message to Israel. Let's turn to the New Testament and we'll see what Romans chapter 9 says. For us who know what Romans chapter 9 talks about, we know right away where I'm going with this. All right, chapter 9, and we're going to begin with verse 20. Romans 9, verse 20. This is, by the way, if you're a Bible student or studying the Word of God, this is, I call, a cross-reference verse. So it helps us. It's on the same theme, verse 20. Nay, but, O man, who art thou that thou repliest against God? Shall the thing formed say to him that formed it, why hast thou made me thus? Hath not the potter power over the clay of the same lump to make one vessel unto honor and another unto dishonor? What if God, willing to show his wrath, to make his power known, endured with much long suffering the vessels of wrath fit to destruction? Notice now, that he might make known the riches of his glory on the vessels of mercy, which he hath afore prepared unto glory. Even us, whom he hath called, not of the Jews only, but also the Gentiles. So who is the Bible referring to as vessels? You and me. We're vessels. It says here, some vessels unto honor and others to dishonor. We're earthly vessels. Just clay. How much worth is the clay? 42 cents? Oh, inflation, 54 cents now. Okay. All right. Not worth much, are we? No. Actually, when you take our bodies and just, they all come back to the clay, the dirt, they aren't worth a great deal, are we? In the eyes of man, sometimes we're worthless. Some people call us that by other words. We're nothing but clay. And secondly, we're very frail. Very frail. When my wife and I first married, there was some days I was very frustrated, and I'm sure she was frustrated too, and that means frustrated with each other. And don't raise your hands because you had that same situation. But most young married couples have that situation and time in their life. And it came time to change the oil in our car. We had an old car that had 185,000 miles on it. It was had second engine in it, and the engine was pretty good. So we tried to keep good oil changed in it. And so I was out there, and I didn't know where my all my equipment was, and so I needed a funnel. So I go into my wonderful bride, and I say to her, now I might tell you, she's watching tonight, and I say to her, honey, could I borrow one of your funnels out of your kitchen cabinets? No way. I couldn't get one of her funnels. It wouldn't work, See? So, why not? Put oil in it, wash it up later. Yeah? Use it? Fine. No? We don't eat out of the cat dish or the dog dish. We eat our dishes out of the cupboard. That's the difference between vessels of honor and dishonor. In Bible days, they had some things that are liquid, which wasn't really fit to drink, if you know what I mean. So that was dishonor. They used that just to carry it, get it away. And so, see, that's what he wants us to keep in mind here. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, there's a verse that talks about the vessels in a house. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 20. It says here, but in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also wood and of earth, and some to honor, some to dishonor. Now, I'm not going to stop here, because I think the next part is very important. If a man therefore purge himself from these, what's these? That's the last statement in verse 20. Oh, dishonor. Those who are dishonor. He should be vessels unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use and prepared unto every good work. Paul doesn't stop here. He goes on and explains. Flee also youthful lusts and follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace, and with them that call upon the Lord out of a pure heart. And so on. The rest of the chapter can cover some other things too along that same line. Vessels, vessels of honor. We acknowledge that we're sheep. We acknowledge that we have tendencies like sheep. We acknowledge that we need our shepherd to guide our way and to listen to his voice and listen to what he says from the Word of God. If he directs something different in our lives, we need to be open to it and listen very carefully. I'd like to just turn to one more portion of Scripture. Probably could turn to a whole bunch of them. Chapter 4 of 2 Chronicles. Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 7. Here Paul's writing to the people at Corinth. Now, in Corinth, not too long ago, I guess, or maybe longer than I think. Some of my books are a little older than probably I've had them ever since when I first went into ministry. It says that they discovered a new place in Corinth. It was a potter's place, potter's house, and all kinds of different things were there, all kinds, and pieces of pottery all over the place, all over the place. And so it's interesting to put this together because I think maybe the book of Romans was written from Corinth, if I were correct. It was written from Corinth, and maybe Paul had that on his mind, too, of seeing all the pottery going on, you know, and referred to in chapter 9 there. But here in the chapter 4 of 2 Corinthians, we find these words, verse 7. But we have this treasure in earthly vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. I'm going to stop a minute and try to understand what this verse is saying. Notice here in this verse, it says, we have this treasure in earthly vessels. Really, as I dove into the meaning of this verse, I discovered that he's talking about whatever was inside the earthly vessel. We have this treasure in earthly vessels. What did the people in Corinth or any other European city do with the vessel besides putting liquids and other things like that in vessels? They put their treasures in there. Hidden treasures. And they kept them there. In fact, the Dead Sea Scrolls were in, number of the scrolls were in vessels, am I right? And when they found them. Okay, they're trying to keep them. So the messenger of the gospel is a clay pot carrying precious contents or treasures in his pot. Or his jar. The contents of the jar is the treasure of the gospel. Key note here. The treasure of the gospel does not receive its value from its container. Did I lose you? The treasure of the gospel does not receive its value from just being in the pot or in the jar. So we must, this is a precious thing right here. Rather, it derives its power and glory from God himself. So let's read this verse and let's go on. And we have this treasure in earthly vessels that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. That is not how we understand it. It's not of us. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about the body, dying of the Lord Jesus. Excuse me. That the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal body. Why are we here? I don't mean it. Why did we come tonight? Why are we here on this earth? We're here to magnify the glory of our Savior Jesus Christ. Him only we serve. And we pray, not I, not me, but only He. Right? Isn't that what it is? Yes. Sometimes God takes us through the valley and difficulties, as He says in Psalm 23. He might take us through the valley of death. But we should still praise God and bring glory to Him. A number of members of this church have gone through some difficult times, from extremely difficult times. Physically? Yes. But even though our life is ended here, God still wants us to continue to serve Him and to glorify Him, regardless. Even if people come and take us out of this room, if that ever happens, like Pastor mentioned this morning, take us out and to shoot us, line us up and shoot us, we'll still go. And be willing to do what God wants us. That's the reason we're here. In these verses, there's a number of perplexing things. There's external pressure, he says in verse 8. If you may go back to that, chapter 4, verse 8. He says, we are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not despair. We're persecuted, but not forsaken. We're still His. Cast down, but not destroyed. That phrase there, cast down, means it's like a wrestler. You're wrestling and you're on the bottom, but not destroyed. Always bearing about the body of the dying of our Lord Jesus. Yes. And the life also of Him might be made manifest in our bodies. May we always have that goal in mind. No matter what takes place. Internal conflict. Inner perplexity. Acute danger around us. Paul knew all of that. And impending death. We're still here. We love Him. I still want to be His vessel. Lord, whatever You want, help me to be that person who feels what You have for me. Whether it's tomorrow at 3:30 or the next day or the next day or the next day. Whatever You want, I'm Your vessel. May God help us in these days with such turmoil. Father, thank You for the encouragement of the Word. Thank You that we can trust in one who never fails, one who continues to serve as our guide, the one who knows all things, and that in turn He will guide us, and we are His, and You are mine and ours. Thank You, Lord, for allowing us to have the Word of God, Your love letter to us, Your instruction for our souls, our comfort to our bodies, and a comfort to our everyday life. Help us, our Father, to do what is necessary in these days, whether we are considered sheep or a vessel. In Jesus' name, amen.